Welcome back to another episode of Talk Shonen, everybody. My name's Jared.
Just going to avoid the question.
And my name's Matt.
And my name is Peter Stolen Swords.
That's a good name.
I know. It's a great name.
Because you were Tief.
I'm a level 12 Tiefling.
Tief.
Yeah, except when Kyle says Tiefling, it's T-E-E-F and he means teeth.
Look at my Tiefling.
I thought that's what that meant. What does that mean?
It means that you like tea.
What?
Teef. We're going to talk about the new Dungeons & Dragons movie, so I'm going to say it right now, right up front, before we go any further. Heavy spoilers.
So
if you haven't seen it,
many.
Fix it. Go see it. And then listen.
But it's okay, guys. You're not going to miss much. It's 7 out of 10 at best.
Right up front, he's given his thing. So I won't ask you at the end.
I'm still going to tell you at the end.
That's fine. That's a requirement. I just assume you're going to do things your own way no matter what I say.
Just to annoy Jared, the movie was directed by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly with a screenplay by Jonathan Goldstein and John Francis Daly and Michael...
Bublé?
Gilio.
Oh.
Gilio?
I was hoping it'd be Michael Bublé.
Gulio.
Gulio? Julio Gulio?
Magulio. And he stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez. I almost said Michael Rodriguez.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Reggie Jean Page. I don't think that's how you say that. Justice Smith. Sophia Lillis. Hugh Grant. Chloe Coleman. I'm going to read every single actor in the movie. I'm not really. I'm just kidding. Daisy Head and Jason Wong.
There we go. Done.
And Bradley Cooper.
That was the
Bradley Cooper was the entire. He was the greatest character. Bradley Cooper was.
We're just gonna talk about the movie now. Kyle apparently is just.
Let's talk about Bradley Cooper.
No, I mean you're in charge here. Just make him stop.
I know. Stop it.
Shh.
It's not gonna work. He doesn't listen to me. He doesn't listen to anybody.
That's fine. So when his show is recording, just yell during his.
The film score. This film score was by Lauren Balfe.
No one cares. We can do things not just reading Wikipedia. I think actually you've made this completely unusable because I think
you don't
Wikipedia
use
is
any history?
No, it's copyrighted.
It's not copyrighted.
You're just being a plagiarizer.
You can write whatever you want on
You're
here
a plagiarizer.
I wasn't
right
reading
now.
Wikipedia.
You're a plagiarizer.
I was reading
Wiki.
Dickipedia.
You read Dickipedia?
Yep.
Which is Dungeons and Dragonsipedia.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep. It was telling me how big every actor in the movie was.
And most of the women were above Justin Long? Is that what you said?
Nah. What?
Didn't you say Justin Long?
Justin Long's not in this movie.
You said it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
I said
you did.
Wong. Wait, shut up.
He said Long.
No, I did. I said Wong. It's Jason Wong. I said Jason.
But, okay, so we're gonna jump into this.
Cast my dodge on you.
So this movie... I don't know what the fuck that was. Apparently a Nintendo.
It was my Tamagotchi.
God damn, children always ruin recording.
It just died. His Tamagotchi just died. Give him a moment.
That's what that was.
It doesn't even want anything.
It was just being annoying.
Oh, wait, it wants to eat.
God damn, always wanting to eat.
Sorry, it's a newborn.
Just smack it. That's what I used to do.
Shake it. Just don't shake it. Sorry, that's the one thing you can't do is you can't shake a newborn.
Can you hear it? He's so hungry.
The 8-bit
graphics.
Why is
graphics, it so small?
Yeah. Because everything's smaller now, Kyle.
They do make bigger ones.
Is it so it has more room?
It's the bigger ones are like this big. Yeah, right? So it can run around better.
Has a larger backyard for your Tamagotchi.
So Bradley Cooper.
No, we're not starting at Bradley
we're
Cooper.
Not there
and I
yet,
will
that,
punch you in the dick if you continue
exciting.
Mentioning Bradley Cooper.
He
you're not allowed to talk about him now. Only me and Matt are going to talk about Bradley Cooper.
He was the start.
You're not
the whole
allowed,
plot revolved around
nope,
him.
You're not going to be able to talk during the Bradley Cooper section. It's just going to be me and Matt. You've used your uses of his name already. Like you've reached like there's like a maximum.
You
got to
call
it.
You got to call him Limitless now.
Cooper Bradley.
Nope. You can't do it. You can't just switch it around. You have to only refer to him by his character's names
Kyle.
In movies.
What was his character's name in this?
I don't remember.
It wasn't important enough. It was on... Okay, let's not talk about that.
We're not going to jump straight to Bradley
We're
Cooper.
Doing it. It's happening. His name was...
Nope. So, This movie, one of the big things that I told these guys before this movie even started was that most of what's in this movie, whenever you're looking at like a creature or someone of, I shouldn't really say creature all the time because
I feel like you lied
person
a little
of
bit about
different
all that.
Race, because that's really what it was. These were just the different races from Dungeons and Dragons. It was practical effects.
Yeah, it was very cool.
They used a lot of practical effects in this.
Jonathan!
That dragon was not.
The dragon was a real dragon.
That Birdman was not.
They raised that dragon for this part. That Birdman was real.
Those little jellyfish that were on the walls weren't, even though you tried to tell me they were.
That was a simple one. That was just LED lights inside of silicone. Practical.
I just had the greatest idea.
No,
I need
we're
to
not sidetracking
plastic
already.
Surgeon.
No, you've sidetracked us enough.
Silicone should always have LED lights in it.
So that you can see that in fake boobies?
Yes.
Okay.
You put on the RGB thing so it just flash. That would be so much better. Imagine going to a club where there's the women and they do the dancing thing, whatever that's called.
Strip clubs?
Yeah, whatever that's called. I don't do that.
Or like go-go clubs or burlesque
shows? Yeah, it
shows?
Doesn't matter. Wherever they're... Like,
there's a lot
just,
of names.
They just turn them on and it goes with the music. I would pay so many dollar bills.
Yeah, so they used a lot of practical effects in this movie, which was something that I really appreciated because of, you know, many other movies over-reliance, I would say, on computer animation, which sometimes works to its detriment, sometimes is a good thing.
Not anymore. I literally just watched the thing about how good that is right now. They can, like, CGI water perfectly now.
Well, yeah, because Avatar.
That was, like, the hardest thing in the world for a long time.
Yeah, well, no, it's still hard. Like, it's not easy.
I wouldn't call it perfect, but it's pretty fucking good.
Did you see Avatar too?
I mean, I've seen stuff from it. Look, they call the snow perfect in Frozen, and it helped them solve that Dyatlov Pass like nonsense. It still doesn't look perfect.
The water in Avatar 2 looked like just water.
That's a whole separate thing, Kyle.
That's a different show then.
I don't know. I just think a discerning eye can still see it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that it's
suspension of disbelief, Matt. When you go to a movie, you're supposed to log out of what you think things are.
Says the man who never logs out of what he thinks things are. But no, I mean, really, and CGI isn't an issue. They use CGI in this movie, and CGI is not a bad thing. It can actually add to the movie if you use it in the right spots. The issue is an over-reliance on CGI, because the issue that I have noticed for a lot of movies that over-rely on it is you have a breakdown of, I'd say, knowledge, not necessarily like communication, but definitely knowledge of people that are working as computer animators and people that are working as filmmakers, because it's you have to have someone that knows about the process there on the day, because you need someone that knows, you know, about lighting and knows about that you're lighting for something that isn't necessarily there. So there's like a lot of things that make it more difficult for an animator afterwards, that unless you took the steps to do it right off the bat, it's going to make life way more difficult for the people afterwards. And it'll probably end up with, you know, a subpar, you know, product at the end.
Yeah, I can see that. The lighting in Toy Story is terrible.
It'd be one of those like 5 years.
The original Toy Story, yeah.
No, the last one.
The last one.
4 years later, it'll be like, oh, remember how good this looked 4 years ago? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, everything. Every time technology progresses, you look at anything old and you're just like, except for like, you know, there's some things that hold up. Like Jurassic Park holds up.
WWE SmackDown for PlayStation 2.
Holds up.
Holds up.
Totally holds up. But no, I mean, it was totally mentioned at the beginning, the Eric Coker guy, Jonathan. Except
Jonathan!
I don't think his name, it sounded...
It wasn't Jonathan.
No, it sounded like it,
yeah,
though.
But it was close to Jonathan, but it was just a little bit different. It was like Jonathan.
Yeah,
John.
But then at the end, right as it ended, it said Jonathan came on screen, like the guy's name, and I just kept yelling Jonathan in the theater.
I gotta figure out if it is Jonathan.
No, it was like Jonathan.
Jonathan?
Jonathan.
It's Joe... Nathan.
That
Joe
sounds accurate.
Nameth.
It sounds super accurate. Nothing. Did you just shit your pants?
Yeah, twice.
What was that sound?
I accidentally started playing a video.
You shit your pants.
Of someone shitting their pants. That's what it was a video of.
What are you into these days, Matt?
Shit play, apparently.
It was a link you sent me.
Oh, Kyle's blame, into this shit.
Blame me. It's Jarnathan.
Jarnathan.
Jarnathan. J-A-R Nathan.
That, which is a very Dungeons and Dragons name. Because you'd be like, my character's name is Jonathan. They'd be like, it's a fantasy game. Jarnathan. You just start adding... You start adding letters to your name.
Like, my character's name is Derek. They're like, Derek? I'm like, with a Y.
And it's not where you think it is.
Yeah. It's at the beginning. It's a silent Y. It's a
silent Y.
Oh, I love that. But no, I mean, there was a lot of things that like happened in this movie that you were like, yeah, that is just a D&D campaign. Like, that's just what happens. In a D&D
I'm just going to say right now, this was the best Ocean's 11 movie I've ever seen.
I'll agree. Because it was a heist movie at the end of the day.
It really was.
It was a fantasy heist movie. And they pulled it off better than, you know, I'd say the Ocean's movies did.
I heard a lot of people saying like that were not fantasy fans that were like enjoying it. I was very much looking forward to seeing it. And I think that like heist... double crossing aspect, like it's a story old as time at this point.
You were thieves, you had a friend, he did some double crossing. They tried to add depth to it, but I mean, like, it's at the end of the day, it's like you've seen it done before.
It's a cliche.
Cliches are cliche, you know, for a reason.
A good heist movie,
yes,
The Bank Job with Jason Statham, where they just blow up a wall of a bank at night.
Jason Statham is how old now? We just saw him in that trailer.
Oh, he's 300. He's got to be like anywhere between, I'm going to say, 46 and 54.
I told
he's
Jared.
He's definitely not 46. He's definitely like 92 or something.
I told Jared in the theaters, I was like, you think Jason Statham's going to be like Clint Eastwood? He's just going to be like old and wrinkled and still trying to do action.
I like how that's the one actor you picked out of that movie when all of them are super old, still doing action movies.
Well, just they...
Family.
Jason Statham doesn't do...
Jonathan Statham.
He doesn't do like other movies that much.
That is true. He does do mostly action. I think...
I think at this point, Vin Diesel only does Fast and the Furious movies.
No.
The Pacifier?
There's a new Riddick coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, there is.
And he has a hand in all those movies. That's why he's like the unstoppable main character.
Well, of course. It's in his contract. The Rock both have that I can't lose a fight.
Yeah, Vin Diesel does not seem like he would be fun to play Dungeons and Dragons with, because it seems like he would be the player one and everyone else is just an NPC.
Well, he's actually a DM.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
He would be a great player for me to play with, because I would ruin his day.
I think I could.
Well, because here's the thing.
I think he knows the rules better than you.
I don't follow no rules.
Definitely does.
Kyle's like, what the fuck's a rule?
Kyle's like, what do you mean I can't cast three fireballs on one turn? I got three. You said free action, action, bonus action. That's three things for me to do.
No. It's not about the rules that I break. It would be the character that I create would be the problem in the end.
You'd be surprised. People constantly keep trying to come up with like the most broken, most ridiculous characters.
Not broken. Just me as a person.
Yeah, broken.
No.
If you were going to use one adjective to describe Kyle, what would you use?
Well put together.
That's a pretty good one.
Broken is a great way of doing it.
Yeah, well put together. I said well put together, and he said that's a good one.
No, you're trying to sneak it in there.
I'm very kept.
Kempt.
What?
Kempt with an M and a P.
No, kept. As in someone keeps me.
Oh, Kyle's like, no, I live in this dungeon.
Yes. But I don't even know what we're talking about.
I'm a kept man.
We started talking about Jason Statham now, and I got confused.
He's British.
Oh, but no. Vin Diesel does DM, so that's like he's actually really big.
Play in his campaign.
Yeah, he's really really big in that. I mean, so is you know Joe Manganiello, which you know if anybody listens to Rumors, you know how I feel about Joe Manganiello.
But you want to kiss him on the mouth?
I would totally kiss him on the mouth.
He wants to have one of those three-way kisses that used to be a big deal with him and Channing Tatum at the same time.
Listen, that's respectable.
It'd be sexy. It would be the sexiest one.
And he wants Matt Bomer to just be rubbing his back. I'm just picking characters from Magic Mike now.
I would just like the whole cast of Magic Mike to make out with me. that's what
you're like. I took their magic.
Once again, we said
if now they're just Mike.
I'm the magic in Magic Mike.
I'll be the mic for all the guys from Magic Mike.
No, but I mean, Dungeons and Dragons has had definitely a resurgence since, you know, the 70s and the Satanic Panic. You know, Kyle knows all about
that. I
don't
think that had anything. Kyle was around. Harm it at all. I don't think that. What?
Kyle was around for it. He's actually old as shit.
I'm the reason for the Satanic Panic. I was doing all the things they said that all those daycares were doing.
Eating babies?
No, flushing them down the toilet, Jared.
Oh, I forgot what's happening. Come on,
know your Satanic Panic history.
I just know that everybody was like, Dungeons and Dragons. Dragons are of the devil.
No, man. There's daycares flushing kids down the toilet. Those people went to jail for life.
That doesn't even seem satanic.
There's a really good podcast that covers it called You're Wrong About, that covers the whole Michelle Remembers book. That was really good. There you
go. Free plug. You're welcome, that podcast.
It was really good.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's definitely had a resurgence. And I think it's, you know, partially due to things like Critical Role and Dimension 20 and like the big streaming games, but also because of the amount of just, you know, celebrities that are super into it, which is funny because none of those celebrities that are really into Dungeons and Dragons were in this movie.
Yeah.
Name three.
We just named, name one. We already named two.
You got to name one more.
Matt Mercer. There's your third one.
There you go. He is a celebrity. But I mean, if you had to go with another one, I'd say.
Does Christian Bale play?
No.
How do you know?
He'd probably be insufferable.
Patton Oswalt plays. So does Shaq.
I'll accept that one.
Would you play a D&D game Shaq was DMing?
Yes.
DMing? No.
Yeah, no, me neither.
If he was a player, I'd play with him.
He'd be a bard and he'd be scratching the whole time. He'd be doing DJ shit the whole time.
I would play with him as a bard, but he has to be a halfling and it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I feel like Shaq only plays the spot.
I would want to sit next to a 7-foot tall man and have to pretend he's 3 feet tall the whole time.
He'd just be like, can you sit on the floor really quick and I'm going to stand on this chair.
I need to
chair.
Be able to visually look down at you and I can't do it right now. Kyle, I'm standing up Kyle on plays the a table Goliath. And you're sitting down and I still can't do it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, so there's a lot of celebrities that do love Dungeons and Dragons. None of them are in this movie. Most of the people that are in this movie never played Dungeons and Dragons before.
Are you sure?
Yes, they say it in multiple interviews. They actually, to get in the mindset of Dungeons and Dragons, you know, because Wizards of the Coast did release character sheets for all of these characters, so they were able to play as themselves.
That's cool.
You can play as them in your home games now. Free plug for Wizards of the Coast, I guess. Letting people know, you know, because we're more famous than Dungeons and Dragons. Everybody knows that. We're doing them a favor by talking about this movie. But they played as their own characters in a campaign to try to like get used to like what it was like and see what would happen. So a lot of the things like
I don't understand how that helps you in a movie role where you're just playing like some medieval weirdo. Like that'd be like I don't think Heath Ledger played Dungeons and Dragons to prepare for A Knight's Tale.
Well,
not the same.
You just named two movies that are just full of anachronisms.
How did I name one movie?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay.
Knight's Tale. That's two movies.
Yeah. And
I said you did that. They're both full of anachronisms. That's like
I don't know what that word means.
Something that doesn't match the time period. So it's like both of those movies had so many modern elements to them and like how they talked and how they did things and how like decisions they made and music that they were like, oh yeah, no, totally. The people with the really long horns are playing.
You know
Queen.
What they should have did for this movie was they made them play. And in the scenes
wrote the dialogue after they rolled.
Yes.
That would be a pretty interesting move. What if they all died right at the beginning?
Worth it. Whole new cast. Then you just bring in. You just do one of those fun things where like you watch those movies where they kill the. You think these are all the main characters? They all die right away. You're like, oh, okay, and then you get new ones.
Like Legend of Vox Machina.
Like Feast.
Sure.
And Death Proof.
Didn't watch either of those.
Wow. Do you not like Kurt Russell or something?
I know.
You got something against Rosario Dawson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Not Magic Mike, that's why. But no, I don't even know what to say. I will agree with you. That would be a cool way of making a movie, especially if it is a Dungeons and Dragons movie.
And then
is
they have to keep firing the cast because the cast keeps losing. Like, can one group of people we hire for this movie actually succeed?
Can we get one person that rolls well? But no, I mean, there's definitely ways to do it. I mean, there is a trope in D&D where when your character dies, you make the exact same character, yeah, and you just go, it's his twin brother. Instead of Ed, it's
you're like, oh,
Ned.
No. Oh no, Balthazar died. Now, good thing we found this wizard, Halthazar. He's exactly the same, but his cloak is green.
And his beard is a little bit longer.
Like, what was the web comic beard from when, like, a million years ago?
Looking
where there
for
was
group comic?
That one. Did you ever read that, Jared?
No, I didn't.
The Necromancer's great when he sets the orphanage on fire.
He's a warlock from WoW.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When he sets the orphanage on fire?
He
sets an orphanage on fire.
And?
The kids died.
And?
They have a parody song of the Whole New World Little Mermaid song. It's called Slaughter Your World.
Okay, there we go. See, you were just saying, you're like, huh, isn't it funny? Kids died.
No, I can't remember the joke. There was a joke that went with it where he was like, you saw them coming right at me.
Oh, okay.
He was trying to say he didn't mean to or some shit.
Which, I mean, in Dungeons & Dragons happens quite a bit. I mean, in this movie, I like how it started with the whole they're in prison for something that really, it was like...
They were set up.
Yeah, it was almost like you were coming into it in the second, like, arc of a campaign.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you did your first thing, and you guys failed your first mission.
You have to have a fun way of coming together.
Yeah, and
got team built.
I like that it wasn't just at a tavern, even though technically two of the characters did just meet at a tavern. But, you know, the whole in-prison...
That was a flashback.
Yeah. But, you know, they Tarantino'd it a little bit, except for it wasn't all the way to the end. It was just back. But no, I mean, like, they did have the standard two people meet at a tavern, and for some reason they're just, you know, like, we're best friends now.
She gonna raise my daughter.
Yeah. But, you know, I liked Chris Pine's character, you know, basically being like, this is my tragic backstory, because every single D&D character has to have a tragic
backstory.
They had
perfect backstories.
They did. I mean, let's run over them really quick. You had Chris Pine, where he is a bard. Super bard.
He didn't do anything really bardy.
He didn't, sure he did. But he was definitely a bard.
He cast inspiration a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Yes,
when he would play and sing, it had a visible effect on the people around him. It was very bardy. And it was an interesting way. There was a couple times where I leaned over and we were just like, inspiration.
Yeah.
I just gave inspiration right there.
No, he was just playing a ukulele thing.
It's lute. Yes, but that's the whole thing. A bard's main job is to be really good at a lot of things.
To make women fall in love with him and then seduce them for
the
dungeon.
Not all bards are trying to fuck everything. And
they got the keys. It was spycraft.
Okay, still. Most people, they pigeonhole bards into hyper charismatic,
yep,
and always trying to bone every single thing that moves.
Because that's how their stats work.
No, they're just a high charisma class. They're a charisma caster.
Yeah, there's plenty of them.
You could just say they're not high charismatic and then be like,
well, no, because here's the thing.
Yeah, but that's not what it means.
You can play high charisma in multiple ways. Like, you can play
high charisma could just be someone really nice.
Yeah,
like
you can be a very nice person, or you can just be easy to talk to. But it doesn't mean that you have confidence. Like, you don't have to be an overly confident person and have high charisma. People might just like you.
Speaking of, their wizard had none confidence.
They didn't have a wizard.
They had a sorcerer.
They had a sorcerer.
You know what? Tomato, tomato.
No, completely different things.
No, they're not.
It'd be like a tomato and an orange.
No, it's not.
Where you're like...
Both are round.
You're like, both are round.
And have seeds in
both
them.
Both are kind of bright. Both make my mouth feel a little weird way. But one of them I like.
What is wrong with you?
Both are both are wet on the inside.
Tangy. That's what it meant.
So I now understand your weirdness with tomatoes. Apparently they make your mouth feel weird like oranges. Like, I don't understand where that goes, but rolled a nat one for that.
For that explanation? Or just in eating?
No, for eating those fruits.
But no, I mean, they had sorcerer is another charisma class.
It's a wizard.
A wizard is an intelligence class.
Yeah, they're different. They're casting stat.
They learn through learning. That's where their magic comes from. Books and school. that's wizard.
Sorcerers have an innate magic bloodline.
Yeah, and his was he's a wild magic sorcerer, descendant from a really, really powerful wizard. So he's if you think about it, he was charismatic in a way of people liked him. Everybody seemed to inherently like him and was comfortable speaking to him.
Question.
But zero confidence.
Did he have pointy ears or was it just his hair? He was
slightly pointed ears. He's a half elf.
Okay. I was like trying to figure out if his ears were pointy.
They literally said it one time.
Except for they didn't say what he was.
Well, he said, I'm half human.
Yeah, he just said half human.
He could have been half anything.
You had
else.
To like figure it out. Like, well, just I go, mean, like, your ears are a little off. Plus, also, if you were gonna power build, you'd be like, sorcerer, half elf. I want that +2 to charisma.
I'd be a high elf.
That would give you a boost to intelligence, I think. High elves get a boost in. So, better wizards.
Yeah, I'd be the best wizard.
Yeah. Are high elves an actual race? Or is it just like a sub race of elves now?
They are a subrace, but they get proficiencies in magic and stuff like that.
Wow. Just like how there's like deep gnomes and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
What's a deep gnome? Changed my mind. I want that. That sounds like he goes hard in the paint.
They're called sniffled bun. I forget what their actual thing, but it's like snivel something. SNEVL something the rest.
Yeah, they sound like they push pee. I'm down with that one.
They are underground. Remember when they were talking about the Underdark? That's like around kind of where, like right above that.
I'm sold. You don't need to explain it anymore. That's what I'm going to be. Are.
They're surly and cynical and
they got gray
fatalistically.
Skin.
Never mind. That's a different sentence.
Another sentence. Just those two things.
Every noise that can be made.
Matt's musical today. That's what that is. But no, so, okay, so we've gone over the bard. We've gone over the sorcerer. And then we had, of course, Michelle Rodriguez, who was good old barbarian. What kind of barbarian do you think she was?
A barbaric one.
I'm thinking she was just your standard go-to berserker barbarian.
She had improvised weapons, I'll tell you that much.
That she did. She was crazy good at fighting with literally anything.
Yeah, she punched a helmet to death.
She did.
A bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
punched them right in the helmet.
Their rage is their power, man.
She's very smart, though. So
apparently none of them were smart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When the brain things didn't
the
eat them.
Intellect devourers, but they're like, oh, they're drawn to, the smarter you are, the more they're drawn to you. And they like stopped for a brief second and then just walked past every single one of them.
See, from experience playing D&D, I know that's because most players don't use that stat.
Oh, dump stat is intelligence almost always.
Because I dump all of mine into that and people are always like, why? And I'm like, because it's going to be funny later.
Do you play as a wizard?
No, I just play as a really smart guy usually who's bad at everything else.
But do you... I mean, if you have high intelligence, you'd have like really good religion and history and arcana, and you'd be good at a decent amount of stuff.
Yeah, I don't do magic. None though. Of it. I stab things.
None of it would be helpful. I would just have though. It. Like your proficiencies would be all weird.
I do it for myself to be like I'm the smartest one in the room.
You just play pretentious.
Yes,
he's an RPer.
You could be pretentious and not be a lot of dumb.
The
role
playing is better than the skill points.
But I mean. Once again, you can RP pretentious without being high intelligence.
No, but I want to be.
Most people that are pretentious aren't highly intelligent.
But I want to be.
Okay, you're just fun. Like you're like I'm not really.
You're not
intelligent
understanding
in
the point
life,
of why
so.
I'm doing it, so it's fine.
I don't in real life. I'm quite stupid. So
I'm very geniusy.
I want to do the smart. Opposite. You're like I'm equally as pretentious, but
I put it all into charisma and intelligence, and then I just try and just be a dick.
I mean, high charisma is one of the most helpful things ever. Social interactions are most of the game.
I'm ugly usually because I don't put anything there.
What do you mean there? That's just
that's
your own imagination.
Different games.
Oh, okay. I was just saying, you just describe yourself as ugly then.
Yeah, different games.
Okay.
Games in which you put stats into things.
Into beauty?
Yeah.
Cyberpunk has one.
In beauty?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Attractiveness?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good thing. Good thing.
I'm it's a cool, useful thing in that game.
Like coolness is a stat
yeah,
in Cyberpunk.
Yeah. But okay, yeah. So Michelle Rodriguez was a very interesting character. She definitely seemed like the a lot more, like, she, you can tell her character was an intelligence dump, because just her
and she's like,
general conversations.
She's like, Hulk, I could kiss you. Try it.
I thought she wanted him to. I'm not lying. The way that was delivered was like, should he kiss her?
It was kind of, but at the same point, he was
too tall for her.
Yeah, yeah. She definitely had standards. And then you had the druid. I can't remember her name.
It was druid, like, girl. It was like a weird one.
It had a D. I remember it having a D.
I have it up.
Right, Daphne. Now.
It wasn't Daphne.
It was like, I kept thinking they were calling her Dork.
Dork.
Yeah, it did sound
like Doric.
It's Doric?
It is Doric.
I just heard, hey, Dork.
Yeah, with an I.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like she was, so one, she was a tiefling, and it was a very old school depiction of tiefling.
Yeah, very human-esque. They didn't even make her look, they should have made her look like sunburned, at least.
Yeah, like, made her a little red, because tieflings are usually red.
The fact that people play them purple is stretching it. Nowhere was it ever
they've
said.
They've expanded now.
Is that accepted now? Yeah. But players made that. That was not a thing that was written.
It used to be that they were skin, like regular skin colored, it was, in the earlier editions. Yeah,
then it was red hues. And people said purple is a red hue.
Yeah.
Purple
became very popular. So then they said they can be red, purple, and then some people were like, what about blue? And blue really
not
got...
Not a red hue.
I argue blue-violet is the most blue you could be.
Well, Critical Role...
they make shit up.
Jesters... well, it became very popular after Jester, because what they did was they made a twist to it, because she had water genasi. She was half water genasi, okay. Well, half tiefling.
That's different.
So they said that switched her ancestry, so now she's a blue tiefling. And her hellish rebuke was ice instead of fire.
That's kind of cool.
Here's so how they purple, did a full tweet. Here's how purple works. They have a breathing disorder. So they're not getting enough oxygen.
So they're turning slightly
blue. But they have a red tint, therefore purple.
Also, apparently pink is acceptable too. Like pink.
Red.
Like bright pink. Like a hot pink is acceptable.
That's just red with some white in it.
Yeah. Yeah. But so she was a tiefling, and it was, like I said, it was a very old school depiction of the tieflings. It was like the earlier editions where they looked like humans just with horns and tails. She was an interesting character. I'd say she was one of the, fighting wise, super strong.
She was dope to watch.
She's the best one.
Like, she was crazy in combat. Outside of combat, I think I liked her character the least. I think they did the least with it. Like, I felt like she was there.
She was my favorite. She was an owlbear, and that was cool.
Well, yeah, owlbears are dope, and she turned into it quite frequently.
And
she
heard you go, what is that?
Wait, what, to the owlbear?
Yeah.
I know what the owlbear is. I knew she turned into an owlbear from the preview.
Who said that then? Was that in the movie?
Might have been somebody in a different row.
Chris Pine went, what is that? Okay. And then he was like, owlbear.
I just attributed that to you. You were in the movie for me.
That's fine. That's cool.
You were Chris Pine.
Thank you. That's awesome.
He said, what do you mean? What's wrong with my lips?
They're too big for your face. But yeah, but no. So
I thought that she likes halfling, dude.
Yeah, that's you find out later. That's what it is. But I mean, I think that that Doric was the weakest character. I felt like half the time she was there just to make Justice Smith someone to be like awkward around and have her kind of comment.
Is that the actor's name or the sorcerer?
Yeah,
his name was Simon.
Yeah,
Simon.
Yeah, that's the character's name. But Simon. I was talking about the real guy.
His name's Simon.
His name's Justice.
Yeah, his name's Justice.
Oh shit!
He was in Detective Pikachu.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but no. So I mean, like, I feel like a lot of her, the reason for her being in there, and like sometimes it just felt like she was there to further his plot along. And I would have liked to have seen her story further along a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the other side of her powers was her character.
Yeah.
Like, she had the whole, like, well, you don't want to let the elves down.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of, it really was just her powers was her personality. She was cool, though, for the druid.
I think the weakest character was the paladin.
I thought that his character was amazing.
He abandoned them.
What it is his personality was amazing. Them. The
personality was fantastic. He abandoned them.
He did. But he wasn't ever a member of the party. He wasn't meant to be a member of the party. He was meant to be...
When they shook hands and they bonded and they were in love or whatever,
yeah,
he became a member of the party.
He was like an NPC that you meet along the way that's like, you're a way higher level than us and we need you to complete this mission. Like, we will die immediately if we try to do this thing. So we need a high level NPC. And the dungeon master's like, I got you. How about a weirdly awkward, hyper literal paladin?
I do not traffic in colloquialisms.
I've decided that when we finally let Jared play D&D, since he's the only one that never has, that's how I'm going to play a character.
It's a great...
That's my personality.
It's a great way of doing it. Someone who doesn't understand sarcasm and colloquialisms and things like that.
But I'm
going to
be
great.
A deep gnome.
That actually works because...
Way up there.
Because if you think about it, they wouldn't get out that much.
No, and they're cynical and surly.
Yeah. So that would actually be perfect. I love this idea. We have it in the books.
We're going to do it right now, live, right here.
So... Did we mention that Chris Pine's character has a daughter, and that's like the whole plot point?
Oh yeah, we didn't mention anything about the plot.
We were talking about characters first. We're just talking about the main characters.
A long time ago.
And then Hugh Grant was just a dick.
Hugh Grant played he was another roguish, fighter kind of guy.
Yeah, he was definitely a rogue.
Well, rogue is a mindset, right? Not really a class, because you as long as you can lie and fucking swindle.
What are you talking about? Rogues just know how to stab just a little bit better than everybody else.
Yeah, but
they get eviscerated.
He never like showed he had any of that
because he's a successful level one rogue.
I think he might not even like he might. I don't know. You could argue he wasn't even a rogue. Yes, he was a con man.
Yeah. I mean, which could be a backstory.
Like he literally, we didn't see him do anything except fighter shit. He just held a weapon.
Yeah. Which, I mean, rogue is a martial class, so they hold weapons too. I mean, so.
He was one of them talkie guys.
But, I mean, at the same point, Chris Pine showed a lot more roguish things.
Yeah, like, well, Bard was always some variant on a rogue caster.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a magical rogue. And the thing is that he didn't do any magic, and I was kind of waiting for that, especially with the whole like him always having the loot
on
him.
I thought he was going to use a Nox spell.
You guys said he did.
I thought
we said he gave inspiration. That's not
magic.
That's
a class skill.
That's an ability.
Bards could like cast literal magic spells too, like knock and unlock a door, like shit like that.
Remember that one time that Ryan said I could play a bard, and then he made me stop because I kept making songs about pies.
No.
Because I was actually singing during it.
It's hilarious because every time you've mentioned it to Ryan, you've mentioned it to him now, and both of them have been like,
Ryan remembered. Matt doesn't remember. I might not have been there. It wasn't the same people.
I might not have been there, and I literally don't remember a lot of things since my car accident. Like, not a joke.
It's just blank.
My brain was like, we might not live the next few moments. We're going to just delete a bunch of this RAM. We're going to download some more RAM later.
You got to remember this moment just in case.
Your life flashed before your eyes and it just went, get rid of half of that. Just get rid of it in case.
That's kind of what it was.
Yeah.
It only wants you to remember this moment in time during this.
It did a disk cleanup and it was like, you could download that later.
Yeah. You uploaded that to the cloud, right? Shit, you didn't. But no, yeah, so let's talk about the daughter, because the daughter is a huge point. Well,
let's go back a little further.
One character we missed, the wizard, the red mage, were they called?
It was like a red wizard, yeah.
They were wizards.
Which, I mean, is a documented bad guy in D&D. In earlier editions, there was modules built around
stopping red wizards. Oh, okay.
And them being extremely powerful, like normally lichy kind of people.
Well, they were all Avatar.
Well, they were all those that... Okay, so at one point we see the little like red wizard council in a flashback, and they all looked like 2 degrees from becoming liches.
Oh, yeah.
They were all like hundreds of years old, hanging on by whatever.
As Kyle said,
they're
Voldemort.
They're thingamabob made them all dead. They're zombies. Oh, they described it that way.
Well, that thing did. I'm talking about the wizards that were sitting on the council before the spell.
Yeah.
Like when that chick showed her face, like I don't think she was dead, right?
No, that was just
they said they called her 300 years old. You don't age if you're dead.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, she
turned into a lich thing at the end.
Yeah.
Totally. That was her true form. That's why her dress was all fucked up, too.
Did you say their avatar?
Yeah, their avatar. Their little tattoo forehead things, glue and everything.
One, that's just the air nomads.
Oh, that avatar. I'm like, none of them were blue.
They're not blue people.
I don't understand that.
Chris Pine's daughter in this was in Way of the Water.
She was?
Yeah, she was an avatar.
Yeah, who was she? She played young Loak.
There's someone in this movie credited as just also, being the yes corpse.
She's the little kid in Gunpowder Milkshake, and that movie's very fucking fun action movie.
Okay. I've been meaning to see it. It's on my list. I haven't checked it out yet.
Half of it.
It was good. That I gotta Bullet Train. If you haven't seen Bullet Train, watch it.
I love Bullet Train.
Bullet Train is the most unrealistic movie ever. Yeah, you cannot run up the back of a train.
It's the same kind of awesome as Bullet Train.
Okay, cool.
You cannot run up the back of a train.
Yeah, have you tried? You should try it.
Not a bullet train while it's moving. Most impossible thing ever. Plus, you can't break that glass with your fists.
That's the only thing he got hung up on. When he flew through the whole train and didn't hit a single thing and then survived that landing,
yeah.
He was like more believable than jumping forward on a moving train.
So funny.
I was like, I think you're getting hung up on the wrong points. But yeah, to bring it back there was a Red Wizard and she was visibly evil. And the fact that nobody had a little bit
hot. When she used detect magic and she was like,
yeah, bro, that's how you detect magic. I think you have to do that.
If you scream like a ghoul every time you cast magic, you're probably not a good guy. And everybody should be slightly suspicious of you. If your eyes have a constant ring of black around them.
A little bit of glow.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if this is on the up and up.
They're like, she's not a red wizard because she's wearing black.
She's wearing blue.
Oh, it was blue. Deep blue.
It was like a grayish blue near the end.
Oh, man.
Which, I mean, if you're gonna, you know, hide being a red wizard, you gotta go the opposite way and be like, I gotta do a cool color.
So that girl, the red wizard, Daisy Head.
Yeah.
She's in like everything spooky and magic. But she was in Shadow and Bone, Sandman, this.
Oh yeah, she's the tailor and I know exactly
Underworld
who she is.
Blood Wars.
Okay, not for nothing. But in her IMD picture, she looks like the ghost face mask.
Wow, that's mean.
I don't think she looks like the ghost face mask. But I mean, she's got some sharp features for sure. Yeah.
No, she's a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman. She just played a very creepy, scary character in this one. And Kyle's just mean and has too high beauty standards.
No, I'm just saying in that picture, that particular picture, she looked good as a bald, evil monster lady.
Okay, all right. I'll give it. That's his type.
Kyle was like, oh yeah.
He's like, give it to me.
Yeah, man. When she started rotting at the end, I was like, oh, getting a little
sick. He was like, ooh, mommy.
He's like, mama getting fermented?
I rolled for boner and got a 5.
That's pretty low.
You know what?
Unimpressive boner.
you know what? Most people roll a 5, and that's normal.
It's average to roll 5s.
Not all of us could be packing a 20.
Can't all have a natural 20? Sometimes I gotta deal with my natural 5. Shut up.
So what was this movie about? Because we're like 47 minutes into this.
It's because
we haven't described.
I was gonna talk about the daughter because the daughter is pretty much the crux of the whole thing.
No, she is not.
Yes,
the crux of the whole thing is that Chris Pine's character, Edgin.
Ed. Yeah, we can just call him Edgin.
Yeah, he's been Edgin this whole time.
Edgin. He was all like, oh, I'm going to join the Black Wall, blah, 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 fight White Walkers and whatnot. He joins like some secret.
You're in the wrong.
It was a way easier name. It was the Harpers.
Celibate cult, whatever. He was all like, wife, I'm only here to do good things and that's it. And she was like, I love that you only like doing good things. And he was like, yeah, but I'm going to steal some things. And then like he stole from the wrong bad guy. And then they stabbed his wife to death.
Okay.
I was gonna say fucking killed her, but I was like, I tried to tame it a little bit.
I mean, they did kill the shit out of her.
Murdered the shit out of his
wife.
They
killed her so dead that she couldn't come back to life.
Even
except if you had.
Here's the part of that that makes nonsense. I think he didn't think this out when he came up with that. He was thinking in like grief mind when he was like, we're gonna bring her. He burned her body. What comes back from that? Is she just an ash cloud?
Oh, it's magic resurrection. Yeah. You don't need a body for
it's just true resurrection, most like, or it just had a wish.
Yeah,
it could have literally been a wish spell in an artifact.
You know what, sometimes dead is better. I learned that.
Pet Cemetery.
I will say, I mean, okay, I'm gonna say heavy spoilers for Critical Role right now if you guys aren't caught up on it.
Do they also agree
that sometimes dead is better?
I'm going to get to that. So fast forward 1 minute. in the most recent season of Critical Role, there's a guest character who is the ex-girlfriend of one of the player characters, and she just got introduced, and this player character is like 500 years old. He's a gnome, and every day he rolls a D100 to see if he'll die of old age. So
I like that.
So she's his ex-girlfriend, but she still is young and in her prime. And the reason for it is after they broke up, she met a man and got married, had kids, and then a monster came into the town and killed her. And she was dead. And her husband became an adventurer, made an adventuring party, and met a powerful wizard that had access to the wish spell, basically, and wished her back. So she was dead for like 300 years and came back. And now, as a gnome, her children are still alive, but she's younger than her children now. And she's having a hard time reacclimating fully to being alive because she was dead for so long.
Yeah, it probably felt like even longer.
Yeah. Like, because she was dead for longer than she was alive.
Yeah.
So, and she explained it like, being dead is kind of like you're a snowflake that lands on the ocean. At first, you're just a snowflake chilling there, freaking out. And then after a while, you melt and you just are the ocean then. And she was like, it kind of is difficult to be pulled back from that.
I don't know. I like the way they described it in this, where she was probably in
another place, yeah.
Yeah, another realm, living her different life.
Well, that kind of is the same thing.
Yeah. Being a snowflake? No, it's not. That's Lion King shit.
True. It's Circle of Life. I thought you'd prefer that.
In real life, yes. Yeah. In fantasy life, no. I'd like to imagine that I'm going to go somewhere and fight dragons all day, and then if you take me away from it, I won't be sad.
But what if the world is fight dragons, and being alive is fight dragons, and you'd be another thing?
Like, imagine it more like Valhalla, but you go there, and all you do is you fight a dragon. It dies, it comes back the next day, it eats you, you come back next, it's just you and this dragon. You're like best friends at some point.
Are you saying imagine dragons?
I don't think that's how that works. I'm just saying, how cool would that be?
I mean, it would be interesting to have like a never-ending fight, but what if you're like, hey, I don't want to do that today?
No, that's when you and the dragon, like, after a few hundred years, you guys are going to become friends.
You just go and you have a drink?
Yeah, you're just like, today,
just hang out inside.
Let's take today off.
You go see a movie?
Yeah.
It would be cool to have a dragon best friend, but...
and then, like, you guys are just, like, friendly for a long time, and then, like, you fucking say the wrong thing, or you, like, touch his gold by accident, and then it starts again?
And just like, it's on.
Yeah.
It's on like fucking Donkey Kong again, dude. I don't care that we went and got pizza yesterday. You touched my stuff without asking.
Perfect.
Don't touch my drum set.
Perfect reality.
I put my nuts on your drum set, dude. You are right. Sometimes dead is better.
And
that is something. But, his character
also,
really
though,
was
also though.
Okay,
someone made that magic thing.
Yeah,
just make another one.
Normally, you have to be insanely powerful. Dungeons and Dragons has a weird thing, where just because someone was alive a long time ago means that they are so much more powerful than you could ever even dream to be.
Just level up.
Even if you get to level 20, there was somebody alive thousands of years ago that was just as powerful as you are, but they were just a little bit more.
Just level up.
And they were a little bit more.
Go into the forest and fight squirrels or something.
Nope, level max. You know how many squirrels you'd have to kill to get from level 20 to level 21 if that existed?
And I've killed so many Rattatas just to get a poke like a Pidgey at like level 100.
You don't kill Pokemon.
Yes, they totally die.
You knock them out. You never leave them in the wild.
You never see Gary's Raticate after that fight. And then you find him at the tower. Yeah. You kill Pokemon.
It fainted means it died.
Well, what about when yours die?
Take him to the hospital because you're a good poke. This is just like the horse thing all over again. You have good and you have bad owners.
Yeah. And a good owner always brings theirs back and protects them.
And sends it away.
Yeah. Sends it away when you need to. But no, I think a major part of this movie was that Chris Pine's character was inherently very selfish. Even when he was trying to do the right thing, he was trying to do what sounded like the right thing, but for a selfish reason. Yeah, and he comes to that realization.
He had that great line at the end where he was like, I wasn't trying to bring back your mother. I was trying to bring back my wife.
Yeah.
Because she never knew that lady.
Yeah, at the end of the day, she was a baby when her mom died. So she that wasn't her mom. Yeah. Your mom is not the person necessarily that gives birth to you. It's the person that raises you.
Yeah, it's not the one that puts you in a cabinet.
I mean, saved her life.
Good move. Good luck, mom.
Thanks for putting me in a cabinet, mom. While you sat there dying, Jesus.
Magic poison.
Just ultimate sword is what it is. Because it was just specifically by getting stabbed by their blade. They just have way better swords.
What if you just get like a little nick?
That's not stabbed.
It's not like a also, cursed blade?
I think it would never heal. You would die at some point. You would just keep bleeding.
Yeah.
Their blood turned black.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You would die eventually, even black if it was blood. A little tiny cut.
Black blood kills everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would get infected. Like, you can't, like, there's nothing you can do about a continuously open wound.
Yeah.
Spit on it.
Wounds need to heal.
But Kyle, stop spit on my cut. You're like, just cover it then.
It's magic spit.
Me and Kyle watched a movie the other day, and apparently if you're just bleeding over and over again, you can just put bleach on it.
Oh, really?
Don't do that.
I'm gonna try that right now. Actually, I got an open wound I've been talking about.
Pretty sure it's really bad for you. It says not to put inside of you.
You're like, man, go to the hospital.
I'm surprised it didn't have any sort of disclaimer before that movie. Like, hey, there's gonna be a scene.
I'm gonna be like, haha, joke's on you. It's not inside of me, because this cut is on the outside.
Not in this movie that we watched.
I don't remember now. I don't know what's happening.
Do you not remember that movie?
No. I remember that happened. I don't remember anything else.
You don't remember what was continuously her ongoing problem during that movie?
Oh, no. Yeah, I do remember this. Never mind.
We'll tell you about it after the show.
She put bleach on so many things. So don't bleach yourself. So
much things. Yeah, don't use bleach on yourself.
A lot of that bleach wound up inside her.
Yeah, it was bad.
Anyway.
But yeah, so he definitely did, like, in the end, realize he was being selfish. And that was an amazing line.
This movie is a story about redemption.
I heard someone
say... Hugh Grant's character really finds redemption at the end of the film.
I would say he hit a wall at one point. He hit a wall
where
journey.
There once was a window.
True.
You know, when God closes a window, he builds a wall.
So when they're doing their pardon in the very beginning and they're like doing that whole opening, and they're like, the fact that they were about to get released.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I just think Jonathan would do really good hearing my story.
Fly, bird, fly. And the whole time we're sitting there like, oh, okay, so he knows this guy.
He knows that Jonathan has a family and he would understand where I'm coming from.
100%.
He's like, it's just because he has potato.
Well, even before that, he was like, hey, guy, no, listen, it's going to go great. Jonathan's going to be there. He knows us. Like, he talked about it like the guy was on their side.
Yeah. Oh, that was, yeah. I mean, that was, I think that
they
was,
they almost
like,
killed Jonathan.
They almost did. Like, if Jonathan wouldn't have opened his wings, he'd been like, I don't even care about my
also,
life.
How did Michelle Rodriguez not die? Jonathan was in a free fall. How did he catch her when she fell off?
Magic.
Yeah, magic.
He wasn't intending to fly them. That's the thing.
Did she fall off, though?
Yeah, she was free falling at one point.
Not at first, but then in the middle there.
Maybe he just was like, I can't let someone die.
I don't know. If someone's like trying to use me for a free ride, I might just let them fall.
Nah.
If they get off.
You're going to be like,
I'm not going to
save
somebody.
No, that would be so icky, yucky, gross. You would never be able to forget that. You'd be like, they poofed. It was a puff of mist. Can't forget that shit.
You just fly away so you don't have to see it. Just go far enough away.
You can always remember people.
Never look back.
You can fly far enough away from your problems. Problems really are geo-locked.
If
someone
tries to ride you into the sky and they fall off, just fly away. Never look back.
Just let them hit the ground and just go somewhere else.
I was like, not my problem.
That happened over there. Over where? I'm not looking.
I'll wait till someone cleans that up.
Eyes on the future. It'll happen. But no, I mean, I think all in all, this was like, there is, they tried to give, like, they pitched it like it was going to be some really, really funny, really, really goofy, heist movie. And that's Wasn't it what it was.
I mean, it sort of was.
It was goofy, it was funny, and it was a heist, but it was a heist for the heart.
No, it wasn't.
At the end of the day, he wasn't trying to get treasure. He was trying to get one particular treasure.
That's true.
And he was trying to get his daughter back. This is really about a father reconnecting with his daughter.
You know, his daughter was also, she was in a Dave Bautista movie in 2020 called My Spy or whatever.
That was her?
That's her, yeah.
Oh my God.
Matt follows her entire filmography.
He just read it. That's what he was doing this whole time. He was just like, look at her. Look at her.
I knew she looked familiar.
She was that kid in that one movie, and then she was a kid in that other movie.
I mean, you are correct, but the thing I remembered her from was Gunpowder Milkshake.
Yeah.
She had an invisibility necklace.
She did. I mean,
they stole.
There was a lot of really cool, like hat tips.
Their
for people
first
that know
jewel
it.
Heist was the greatest one.
They were just like
a smash and grab. It was just smash and grab.
I liked that logic. Be like, it's crazy to think about that. How everything you could ever want can be just behind a thin little piece of glass, and now it's no longer
an invisibility necklace.
Yeah, which I mean is a great necklace to get. That is probably one of the most useful magical items, which there was tons of.
I'm gonna say too, maybe it was true invisibility as well, because she got up at the end the sorcerer couldn't see the invisible person.
Well, they said they were distracting
her. I thought the whole fight was a distraction too.
What they said.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was that, but I'm trying to think, because she wouldn't have had, I don't think red wizards or liches have true sight.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
You're not sure.
So I don't think. I don't think she lets you see magically invisible people,
but she definitely could tell that wild shape was in the room.
Well,
that's just a high perception.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. So if she casted detect magic, or if she rolled high enough on perception, they'd have been like, oh, weird buzzing.
What is that roll that you do to detect things?
Perception.
Yeah. No, the other one where they should have, they all failed that clearly.
Oh,
they
stealth.
Didn't know that she was a monster lady.
Oh,
insight.
No.
Yeah. Insight's like a, it's not like, what am I trying
insight's to say? Getting a feel for a situation, like trying to read a situation.
Yeah.
Well, so they definitely all felt, they all failed. There was clearly, like, you
that's
can almost
a wisdom
tell.
Check. They all failed wisdom checks.
Like, you can tell that there was points in the story where it was supposed to be like, yeah, they all failed this check. Like, you can tell that how or, things went off, they all failed that check.
Like that fight when you were, Michelle Rodriguez is whooping everyone's ass and Chris Pine's just undoing his handcuffs or his binds the whole time. And you're like, when someone rolls a one.
Yeah, when someone's rolling really, really well compared to their teammate who rolled a one.
Yeah, he couldn't even cut it with a sword.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, he couldn't get much leverage. He wasn't going to sit on the sword.
God, just hitting them when he hit them with his loot, especially at the end when he waxed the sorcerer with the loot. I was like, yeah!
That was a highly effective loot.
Yeah.
Like, that had to be a magical item because it bypassed
at least
all
plus
resistances.
One. Yeah, at least plus one.
I was really hoping, though. Do you know what I wanted to see him do? When he got, like, surrounded by people, I wanted to see him just strum, and it did, like, Thunder Wave or something.
Yeah, or, like, the one that makes people want to fight each other.
Yeah. Like, I wanted to, or, like, he finds
another. Hit the brown note.
He hits, yes.
Yes.
He hits somebody with the loot, and it breaks, and he is, like, he finds another loot.
Or he just sings a song, casts Mending on
it. But no, I really thought that he was going to, like, find another loot, and with that loot, he was going to be able to actually cast magic.
Oh, that would be cool.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Why didn't he have a magic purple hand that he made come out with the loot?
Scanlan's hand?
Yeah.
Or, sorry, Bigby's hand?
They should have
the actual one.
They should have that Bigby's hand, because they had the rock hand and the meat hand.
Yeah, I mean, you had Maximilian's earthen grasp, and then you had the meat hand had to have been just a really disgusting version of Bigby's hand.
Yeah.
Like, that had to have been what it is.
Because it wasn't connected to anything. It was just like, it was just like the wrist just faded.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a humongous floating hand.
Bigby's meat hand.
Yeah. It was just a way grosser version of it. It was just a reskin. But I think that's what it was. I think it was supposed to be Bigby's hand versus Maximilian's earth and grass.
Oh, I only should have had Scanlan's hand.
When Simon was falling, but he's as he's falling, he looks like he's doing like a baseball dive for a catch, but he's catching himself.
Yeah. That was cool, except for the fact that he's still hitting rocks. From
well,
that high,
they
it's
were rocks
the
that broke apart, so it's not the same.
Okay, it would disperse slightly.
It would hurt still.
He wouldn't have been popping back up that quickly.
Adrenaline is a mighty creature.
I don't know. We'll have he to test it one of these days.
Sorcerer. When you're a wizard, sorcerer. You can do anything.
Sorcerer.
Wizards have to study. Sorcerers well, have it in their blood.
Technically, after that fall, he would have been a sorcerer.
Oh.
Oh.
No, he was a wizard.
She was a wizard.
Respectfully.
The red wizard.
Actually, no. Wasn't she a sorcerer too, though? They kept calling her a sorcerer.
I don't know, because they called her a wizard in the beginning.
She was a red wizard. The term was red wizard, meaning like the bad guys. Yeah. Kind of like a court wizard doesn't have to be a wizard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she didn't have a book. She didn't have any arcane focus.
I think she was a sorcerer with an undead patron.
It's got to be something.
Because it seems like she worked for a lich.
Yeah.
No, that guy was just not allowed to be there. That was mind speaking.
It was Voldemort.
He mind flayed her.
Well, the mind flayers would be another addition. If they do another one, I hope it does have like mind flayers and shit like that. And I hope the paladin becomes a
what
just
was
a
that horn?
Thing.
They never said what the horn
it was like
called.
A demonic artifact.
It summoned the
I know what it did.
The thing. That's all it did.
They give it a name. I wanted it to have a name.
It turned the slow-mo black lightning into red mist.
Yeah. The red mister. That's what it was called.
It was the nozzle attachment from hell.
Yeah, exactly. But
the
no,
horn
I mean,
of blood dust.
So wait, one thing about that paladin. Mm-hmm. That mark on his forehead, that was like a little bit of the bad power or something?
Because that's where he's from. He's from the same
well,
place.
So what I'm asking race. Is, does those people, it wasn't a race, it was a kingdom.
They were Thanes.
Did those people...
Was it Thane or Vane?
Thane.
Did those tell. People get that... those markings as a culture or did those markings come from because as he was running away his lit up it was like
Meow. It looked like he like smeared across and it lit up like it looked like he did something he
activated it
because the whole thing is that he is also centuries old but he doesn't look like a dead person
yeah, wait, there's some kind of elven people
is he oh because
yeah,
he
was at the war that yeah. was hundreds of years before.
He's that's definitely... why I also, when he walked up and he was glowing, I was like, is he Azamar?
And his name's
yeah,
Zank.
It's like, yeah, it's a weird thing, yeah. They all had kind of weird names. They all had very,
he played
like,
his
pre-made
trope very
names.
Well.
Yeah. But, like, that's the whole thing. I don't know what he was exactly.
Human.
He's just human.
He was Thane, but he was a human.
He Thane. Was human.
No, it says he's human.
Yeah, I know.
Is anybody else listed as undead?
That's really he's the only one that I looked up.
I think okay. It might have only been the assassins who are actually dead.
Okay. Well, I mean, because they did say that you look older. And he said you look exactly the same.
Yeah.
And it was because they were undead. So maybe he just ages really, really slowly.
Yeah, he got them Superman genetics.
I mean, maybe he is an elf and we just can't tell.
Nah, he was human.
Maybe it's because he's a holy warrior and he just keeps healing himself every time he gets old.
Oh, well, I mean, there are things like, you know, like when the monks get to a high enough level, they just don't age
that's
anymore.
That's what I mean. Maybe he's just aging like well.
Yeah, that could be it. That could be that, you know, what that.
Yeah, you know, because Kal-El's yeah. not fucking aging. He's got Superman genetics.
So the tattoos yeah. are a mark of Saz Tam, which is the lich guy.
Yeah.
He is a lich.
Okay.
So he's a necromancer, so it's probably something to do with why they don't age.
I'm thinking also
maybe the tattoos do help them preserve like extend their life or something.
The part where he was like people will attack their loved ones and his parents attacked him.
Yeah.
They didn't have those markings before they went into the mist. When they came out of the mist, they were all
pale.
Well, they
were bald then when they came out of the mist.
But he had it.
Yeah, but they had them all hair. Down on the sides
oh,
of their
yeah,
faces.
They got more
too.
Of it. Yeah. Well, maybe he got touched by some of the mist.
That's kind
of
what I was saying.
Or
that's what I was
maybe
getting
so maybe
because
he's
that,
like, he's maybe like touched by necromancy.
Maybe because that mark is like that guy's like thing on his peoples. Maybe he had them do that and that would activate when that mist went on them since that was his entire plot.
Could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
you're saying they could have been tattooed as a boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was a plan that once that happened, that would activate the whatever.
Because he would want, yeah, an unkillable army.
I can't wait to watch this movie again.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely going to be a lot more things that I'm looking out for. And I was looking out for quite a bit. Like how I knew that the old school 80s D&D cartoon characters were the other ones that were in it. That was awesome. So good.
That was the second of the three groups.
Yeah. I was like, that's a deep
cut. We never saw them die.
Yeah, that's true.
They're just in a cage.
The third team died.
Yeah.
We saw that.
Yeah, super dead.
And remember me and you were talking about how slow it would take to dissolve in a gelatinous cube, or what we thought at least. They came back like 5 minutes later, the guy was done.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is you have to think about it in D&D.
Well, a round is 6 seconds.
Yeah. I mean, so if they came back in 30 rounds.
Yeah, I was going to say 2 minutes.
I think like a gelatinous cube does what, like 3d8 acid damage or something like that for every round you're in it?
That's a lot.
Like, so you would
fire
totally
only
die.
Does 1d6 damage if it's natural.
Yeah. Well, I think like being in a gelatinous cube is like a
being on fire.
Yeah, it's way worse. Yeah. Like a gelatinous cube is like being in a gelatinous cube for 3 rounds is probably you're going to die. Like someone needs to have gotten you out or you're fucked. Like I know it does like a really, really high amount of damage, which is why they're so like scary as like an encounter. Plus also they're like they're resistant to so many different
and
things.
They just grapple you.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, a lot of times they just fall from the ceiling on players, which I mean, it would have been cool if like the ones that were trapped, once they went down there and they like got out of it, it would have been cool if you did see it kind of jiggle and move.
Yeah, because I don't want to use the word sentient, but
it's a living creature.
Yeah. I assumed it's like a plant.
It's like a sea sponge.
I assumed when she was like, I'll pull you guys out, that she was just going to turn into an owlbear and explode it from the inside.
I thought she was like, yeah, gorilla, something that would like have big arms. But anyone else stressed out when I'm like, go faster, snake lady?
Yeah, I mean, I liked seeing her change into the snake because, I mean, it was just one more thing that she turned into, including a deer. You know,
she was very, we mean you said this, she was a high level druid.
Oh, super high.
Or high level for like a starting range of character.
To be able to wild shape that many times.
She was a level 18.
There is a lot of people that homebrew that like outside of combat, you can wild shape more frequently.
Yeah, for the RP, we just want to stick for the lulls, or wild shape as much as you want.
Yeah, they're like, but in combat, you're locked to whatever your number is. So like, you know, keep it under fucking control. And, you know, technically in combat, she only wild shaped once then. I mean, except for when she was running away.
Twice. Yeah. Because we first saw her in combat.
Yeah.
But you're talking about like there was days in between those times.
Yeah, exactly. But the running away when caught by the vault, that was like.
She was like six.
She did. Yeah. She did so many. There was because she was the fly to the rat, the rat to
a person.
Her. So back that's just her, coming. That's just coming. Out, that's just coming out of it. So that's still just two. And then she went back to a rat. And then she went to a falcon, and then she was a cat.
Oh, some kind of weird ostrich thing.
And then she was
back to herself again.
Then she was herself. So that's just coming out of it. She's still at five. Then she was that weird ostrich thing, and then she turned into the deer. So she did seven, right there.
Yeah.
Like I don't need like
one encounter.
Yeah. Like that's you'd have to be crazy high
and
to
the be able flying. Well, we said the flying creatures is higher level,
minimum than, level 8.
Yeah,
yeah. You have to be a level 8 druid just to turn into a flying.
She's
creature.
At least level 18.
She probably was somewhere around like a level.
She
like
used
12.
All her spell slots on wild. But then again, we didn't see her cast any other magic besides wild shape. Might be her only trick.
She got a slingshot.
Yeah, that is true. Well, there was a lot slingshot of weird things. Dope. I mean, it really seemed like they kept the magic to just casters,
mm-hmm.
like just sorcerer and wizards. Like, they're the only ones that have magic. Aside from the paladin having, I made my shit glow.
Yeah.
Like, which is like a normal one. Or like the assassin casting, you know, green flame blade.
That paladin looks like someone who they'd be like, he thinks his shit don't stink. And be like, it really doesn't.
Exactly.
It's
like,
pure.
He would shit right next to you and you'd be like, it doesn't.
Like, it actually smells like potpourri.
That's a trait right there.
It actually would be a gift. Like he'd be like, if you take that, it's actually a blessing.
Be like it
take that for good luck for
like
a
day. It smells like almonds.
It keeps mosquitoes away. Be like, I thought it had like a citronella smell. Yeah.
I want magic poop now.
Magic poop is a guy. That was in Vox Machina.
He's like, I'll bless
Scanlan had magic poop.
I'll bless you with my magic poop. It'll be ass Wednesday.
Quick, rub it on your forehead.
We're ready for the swamp now. But no, I mean, there was like a lot of like, there was Critical Role references, and I told you guys because of the whole fresh cut grass spell. And he even said, like, in an interview, they were like, I heard that there was a reference to Critical Role. And he was like, yeah, my character cast a spell called Fresh Cut Grass, and it's because of the character in Critical Role's Campaign 3.
That's so funny. I just like that he was, what that guy was really doing was self-deprecating comedy while stealing from people.
Yeah. Which is like, if you really think about
he,
it.
Because he had to hold their attention, even if it was hate.
Yeah.
He had to hold that attention until he was done robbing.
While invisible mage handing people. Like, yeah. That's.
Well, he called it telekinesis.
True. Which, I mean, telekinesis is a seventh level spell.
Yeah. And multi-targeting it?
Yeah. To like hold concentration and get it to every single person while casting non-concentration spells, which would be why he was casting such shitty spells.
Yeah, doing prestidigitation shit. Yeah,
it's just yeah.
And then he gets a portal gun.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, that's just
GLaDOS eat your heart out.
Yeah. Oh my god, he was one of my favorite.
I really loved
like
Simon.
Everything about his character was cool.
I think he had the best character development out of all the characters.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't have as many great lines as, like, let's say Chris Pine.
No, not at all.
Like, some of the monologues Chris Pine had was great. Like, yeah. The whole, like,
Edgin was
you can't stop failing, because once you stop failing, you failed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a really fucking great line.
He was just ripping off friggin' that one scientist, man, that nobody likes.
I tell people all the time, we can gloss over that one. Okay. I tell people all the time, the only time you have ever failed is when you stop trying.
Thomas Edison.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah, Thomas Edison.
They, because you don't fail mid-process.
Yeah, exactly.
You're still in it. You're in the thick of it.
Like I said, there's a difference between an ING and an ED. You know, an ING.
An engine has both.
It does. Oh my god, that is hilarious. But no, I think Simon had like the most relatable and also likable character out of the bunch. Michelle Rodriguez's character was just kind of like, you're just awesome.
Yeah, she
like,
was.
Everything about you was just awesome.
She didn't lose any fights.
Yeah,
I was mostly relating to Zank. I think I most related. I think
the paladin.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm mostly
like him. I'm a really sexy. Like, everybody wants me kind of guy. And I got cool
Does
hair.
Everything right.
I got super cool hair.
Who said he was sexy?
I did.
Technically, the only person that said he was sexy was me. It was kind of Justice Smith. Because he was just like, yeah, you know, if you like that kind of thing.
I didn't even notice. I just thought that when I saw him.
Well, he's the guy from Bridgerton.
Oh, is he? I never seen that.
I've seen that.
Yeah,
so that's the show that's where they're laying old timey pipes.
Yeah,
he's the main one laying the old timey pipe.
Oh,
he's the one that's like, oh man, be the one that locks this dick down.
Yeah, like so. I'm surprised that there wasn't more just fans of Bridgerton in the theater just to see more of him.
See, I forgot that, and I was like wondering why I already had half a boner before.
Jesus Christ. You're like my full boner.
He just walked
just
in. I was like,
up.
All right, I already like that guy some reason. Like, I know that from somewhere.
You're like, it's because I know what he looks like naked.
He's like,
that's why.
He's like, I think it's because I have ESPN.
It's definitely the ESPN. But yeah, like I said, I mean, I liked Chris Pine's guy. I liked Ed's speeches. I liked everything about Michelle Rodriguez's character. She was the heart of the team.
Her fucking fancy dark steel axe gets knocked in the liquid metal, and she pulls it out, and it's all molten. And she's like, "I like that."
Yeah, she was so easy to like please, though. Like she was just like, "As long as I got my potatoes and my little girl, I'm fine." Really, like that's all I need.
But honestly, let's get to the greatest character of the whole movie.
No, you can't talk about it. So Bradley Cooper made a cameo.
His name was Marlon.
No, it's fine. So Bradley Cooper.
I was thrown off guard. I heard Kyle go, is that Bradley Cooper?
No, I said, is that Bradley Cooper? Because I was just like, why does that guy look familiar?
He looked really skinny. I think he lost a lot of weight.
He was so little.
He got really into character.
I think a lot of it was CGI.
He was so little.
He was the when you think of a halfling and you read their size, they're like, they can be between this size and this size. They were like, Why don't we just go with that first number, the lowest number? 2 feet. 2 feet tall seems good.
No, he seemed a little higher than 2 feet. Except he definitely liked ladies he could climb.
Oh, short king all the way. And she loved herself a short king. Well,
and
king.
His new lady was even taller. Taller.
Yeah. Oh, so crazy.
His arm was basically, he rolled a 5 for arm length. We stick with that reference.
Yeah.
I looked at Jared. I was like, all he needs to use is one arm.
I like when they zoomed in, though, and she was definitely holding hands with a child. Like,
yeah, that was so good. I mean, I did not see that coming. Like, I knew it was going to be something interesting when they were like, she got kicked out of her clan because of forbidden romance. And I was like, all right, it's going to be something interesting. I was not prepared. Seeing.
I forgot that they even said that besides the like forbidden part. And then I'm like, oh, Bradley Cooper.
They're like, it's because you're a warrior race and he's a tiny, tiny, little, tiny, he's frail
like,
he's man. He's
like, I have a garden.
And he was the sweetest man in the whole
he
world.
He was like the perfect boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, he was just like, you know, it was the only thing about said it.
He made I dinner.
Couldn't just weep for you. Constantly,
he's like, I couldn't feeling. Just wonder where you were.
Yeah, like I was like, oh my god, I'm like, you are just the sweetest man. Like, why would you break his heart like that, Michelle?
And her being in jail 2 years is what lost her that relationship.
Yeah, because he just couldn't do
he
it.
He waited a year.
He did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, because him and his new girlfriend were together. For
but a while. What was the one line or whatever? Because he was just so sad. She broke him so deeply. Where he was like, sure, you left your tribe for me, but. Did you or whatever? Because
oh yeah, but you could never get
yeah. Because I mean, at the end of the day, you know, leaving her tribe caused her so like leaving her tribe for love caused her so much pain that she was never able to enjoy the love that she left for.
Yeah,
she shot herself in the own foot.
Yeah,
it was oh so sad.
It's like there was such a good character backstory.
He had such a good hairstyle too. It was just like a poof.
I mean, if you think about it, let's really quick just run over the backstories. You have Bard, who joined secret spy organization of bards, and his own greed and everything led to the death of his wife.
Yeah, he wasn't okay with his station in life.
Yeah, that's because he's not lawful good.
Because he's definitely chaotic good. And then you have a barbarian that left her basically warrior tribe. For love of a very soft, very loving, tiny man.
Yeah, she could have killed her. Shnu.
Yeah, and her sadness from leaving the tribe is what caused him to eventually have to let her go.
She looked at that little guy at the end like, you try and get your climbing gear out?
Oh my god. When she saw the other halfling? Yeah. She was like, strap up. Get the carabiners ready and the ropes. You coming up. But no, and then you had the sorcerer that had no self-confidence in himself,
yeah, did not sad wizard.
Did not believe that he could ever really achieve anything, really, that he didn't...
Well, he was holding himself back.
He was.
True.
As his great-great-grandfather.
True.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have a tiefling that was disowned by both of her parents because both humans could not bear to have a tiefling for a child.
How does that happen? Is that like a changeling thing?
Normally,
was she replaced with an elf?
Tieflings are normally brought in if you have some sort of like devil in your background, which a lot of it is like you made a deal with a devil or something like that.
The Jersey Devil's a tiefling.
Yeah, he's just a tiefling. That's what it is. Yeah. He's a two kangaroos made a deal with a devil and... Tiefling Jersey Devil was
born. And they were people.
And then had a beef with Ben Franklin.
They were Ben Franklin's
rivals.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, so you had that, and then she was taken in by the you know, the druids protecting the forest. Pretty standard, you know, druid one. And then you had the paladin of an evil country of people who, you know, was basically empowered by this evil that turned their back on it. He's basically an oathbreaker at that point.
Well, the kingdom wasn't evil before the whole lichening.
I don't know. Those liches seemed like they were kind of
yeah, that council all seemed a little evil.
I think everybody was evil, but they weren't the evilest. And then the evilest of them was like, we're going to be eviler.
Well, that's also the thing. Like, they weren't like, oh, he's Thayan, so he's evil because of blah, blah, blah. If they were saying he was evil because he was one of the undead army, you were thinking it was said it that way. Not basing it off his culture. They said he was evil because he was Thayan, not because he came from the place.
So is it like the old Drow lore where there's... Because I know new D&D, they got away from a whole like kingdoms or races are evil.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this like the old like Lilith Ran Drow Underdark? Like this kingdom is so. Baddies?
Yeah, I think they're just like... This kingdom is synonymous with evil.
Gotcha.
So being a paladin from that kingdom... There's no way you're going to be a good guy. But then he was. These were all like,
I think that was
really
like a rebellion.
Great, like, D&D backstories.
Imagine if you're from an evil tribe of people.
Yeah.
And then someone more evil than your evil tribe of people does evil to them. The only way to rebel is to be a good guy.
Yeah.
The most goodest guy.
That's true.
Yeah. And he was the most goodest guy. He was so on the straight and narrow that he didn't let boulders stop himself from walking in the same direction.
No, and is he going to walk around? Nope.
Parkour.
Over the rock.
Right over the rock.
Slow parkour.
That was one of the funniest
shits. Do you think that
shits.
Was ad-libbed by Chris Pine?
Oh, I really hope it was.
Yeah, I think they were just like making fun of him to Michelle Rodriguez.
Just like, look at how straight he walks away. Just, there's a rock. Is he going to go around? What's he going to do? Nope, just straight
a lot
over.
Of the conversation felt so candid between the people, like it felt like it really felt like, I don't know, like not, I know it's all written, but like it really felt more like being at the table.
Yeah,
like
I think that was one of the things that made it feel real. For I think by playing together and like being a party, I think that kind of helped them get into the whole if I have to say these funny words and talk about these funny fantasy things, how can I talk about it in a way where it's still just me talking to somebody that I'm now friends with? And I think that probably helped out with that because it did feel like just two friends having a conversation. The only time it didn't feel like that was when the paladin was talking, because he purposely, like, you can tell, like, that was just...
Yeah, that was a DM character.
Yeah, like, that was made to be like that. It was never going to feel like a friendly conversation. It was just there to do that shtick. And honestly, when Doric was introduced, it didn't feel like a natural conversation until she was with them for longer.
Yeah.
And then she was having natural conversations with them.
It was so good at the end too, where he's like, you want to maybe
retry this courting again?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, they had such a natural feeling, like young romance, where it's just like, yeah, you came on a little bit strong and you had a little bit of a weak personality at first, and I didn't really find that attractive. And then as you hang around them, you're like, okay, I can see you growing. I can see some character growth. And it's just like, maybe, what if we give it a try? Yeah, sure, but calm down a bit. Like, I don't want to see how happy you are about
this.
You
did this magic one time, now you think you're good at it, wizard.
Was it?
She was like, I can see your magic wand poking right now. You need to calm
down. She was impressed, though, when he was like, you flipped the entire gravity of a whole tavern. She's like, you did?
Hey, like I said, like when we were watching, I was like, that's reverse gravity. And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, that's like a sixth level spell.
Yeah, like, it's pretty good here.
It's just panic magic.
Well, no, wild magic is cast at a lower level. Well, it's cast at a higher level, but you can cast it at a lower level.
Yeah, because the whole thing is you don't know if it's going to happen.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, you have no control over it. It's the whole reason why a level one sorcerer can accidentally cast fireball on the whole fucking party and kill everybody. Wild magic sorcerers, I always felt, were like a Kyle kind of class.
Magic barbarians.
Theirs is so toned down.
When they rage, though?
Their list is like, it's almost always like a helpful thing. So it doesn't, like, you can't just turn into a potted plant.
Oh,
or turn into a sheep.
That's true.
Yeah.
Why not?
It's just not how the rage
it's
works.
It's not how
rage,
it's written.
The rage table
You've
is
You've never been so mad you turned into a potted plant?
Now we're going to write that in for you.
That'll be a thing. Your deep gnome character that is very, very dryly has conversations with people will be a wild magic barbarian, and you can get so mad that you become a potted plant. We'll treat you like an animated object. You'll still be able to move, still be able to attack, but you will be a player.
I'll make you carry me.
Like, are you saying pothead? Like, no, he's potted.
Like a terracotta pot. Still the same color scheme as his outfit was, though. And the leaves are the same color as his hair. Which, deep gnomes are bald, so.
Are they?
Usually.
Bamboo.
Yeah, it'll just be bamboo.
I'm going to have hair.
All right. So I don't know if you're, you said what at the beginning? You said 7 out of 10?
6 out of 5.
Wait. That's great. Okay, I'll take that. 10. So Kyle says 6 out of 5. 7 out of 10, though?
That's 7 out of 10 is average.
That's above average. That's a 70.
That's average.
It's not average.
70 is average. That's a C.
You're talking about like in school.
That's a C.
Kyle's saying he's going to give them a 5 out of 7, the perfect score.
That's true. That is true. What do you give it, Matt? Like what would your actual out of 10 be?
I don't want to like, so I want to say, I want to be like 10 out of 10. That's like my knee jerk. It's, I mean, it's the best D&D movie I ever seen.
100%.
I like the one from 2000.
Really good heist movie. Mm-hmm. I give things a really high rating as general. I like a lot of things.
I mean, can you really find many faults in the? Other than the fact it was like a little contrived and a little cliche. Other than that,
I love those parts of it too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like this movie.
Go for it. Just give me your gut. Give me your gut reaction.
Fucking.
You can even give me points. I'll take like a something point something.
I don't even know. 9.5. It's like high.
9.5.
This is a really good movie.
Honestly, I'd give it like an 8.8. The only reason I'm going to give it an 8.8 is because there's certain things where I was like, I kind of wish like the whole lich just showing up. Be like,
yeah, okay. Like that's that, fair.
Like, I'm like, I would like to have heard a little, because she never even said at any point, like when she was casting it, she never even was like, this is for in the name of blah, blah, blah. Oh,
it totally
blah, blah.
Wasn't. That was for her.
Yeah. So it's like, why did you even show him? Like, why is he even in it?
That's fair. And I will,
because he's her boss.
I feel like that was more like world building teasing.
That's what I'm hoping for. But if it doesn't, then it's just going to be fucking irritating. Just
trash, no, they do kind of. When he phone calls her, him and her have a conversation about doing
this.
When
he shadow Skypes her?
He's absolutely shadow Skyping her in the corner of the room.
Yeah.
He was telling her to do this for him. She doesn't need to announce it if she's doing it in service.
See, I don't know what she.
Like every time you go to do something, like if you're at a job and you're like sitting there and you go, you work at like Kmart, are you like, fuck Kmart as you check people out?
So are you saying like
every time?
What I thought was that she was trying to like Sith her way and like usurp her boss. That's what I thought at first.
Nah, he told her to do it.
But yeah, he was totally like aware of what she was trying to do. He was like, don't let this shit stop you. Get it done.
That's fair. So
at first, it was definitely part of his bigger plan.
I thought she was just trying to do the same thing he did, but maybe it is like a lesser version of what he did. Because
they explained that he can't leave the area where that's not a thing.
Yeah.
So he was making a new one. So that
she was trying to pull like an America where it's like, hey, can we leave this base of undead army here?
So like she might control the new ones, but they all work for him.
Yeah. He controls her, I'm assuming. And this is the whole thing. We don't know.
I'm sure he could kill her in an instant, right? Yeah. Not always the whole thing.
He's got that forehead tattoo.
He was definitely a demi-lich. Like he was like a high, like he probably has his soul locked in a phylactery. Like he has
probably
all that
more
shit.
Than one.
Yeah. That would be like a good thing, like to have this keep going. Because what is he going to want to do? He's going to want to take out the people that took out, that ruined his plan. So he's going to go after them. So I think it's definitely set up that it can do sequels. If we learned anything from the open gaming license debacle with Wizards of the Coast, Hasbro said, how can you make more money for Dungeons and Dragons? And I think movies is a good way without pissing off your fan base to do it. So making more like shows, movies, things like that take place in the, you know, like Sword Coast area and in you know, the Wizard, you know, Wizards of the Coast IP stuff. I think that's a smart way to make way more money for the people that are asking for more money and giving fans what they want. And I think if they keep doing it with like this level of comedy where it didn't feel contrived and it didn't feel forced, and a decent enough story that, you know, it kept you, you know, going until the end, I think they have a winner. So I, like I said, I think an 8.8 is a really good score, and I think that that's where I'm going to settle. Do you want to change yours after I mentioned that? Are you still sticking at 9.5 or
no? I'll go back down to 9.
Okay, cool. All right, so we have a 7, a 9, and an 8.8. So we're like right there. We're right in the same.
Yeah, it definitely could have had more. Nothing it did
like disappointed me, but it could have done a couple of
little things like Chris Pine casting magic out of a loot.
That would have been you're right. That would have been so fucking cool.
Like that would have pushed it to a 9 for me. If I would have heard him sing a song and then what he was singing about happened then, I would have been like, yeah, that's
so
that's
when I dope. Said it felt like it was missing something and you guys argued against it, now are you listing things
actually,
that it's missing?
We were having a side thing. I completely forgot that you said it was missing something.
That's but why yeah. I gave it what I gave it. It was missing something that didn't lock me in.
I just don't think that it was missing that much to give it down to a 7.
It didn't have enough of Zank in it.
I would have liked to see more, which is why I'm once again, I think if they make
Kyle's
a second
like, that
one,
guy didn't have sex with anyone. Like, this is a PG-13 movie.
He could have taken his armor off.
That's true. He did only have, like, a shirt that went down to, like, mid-chest. It could have gone down to his navel and really showed everything.
I'm not the only one that describes him this way. Wikipedia describes him as a handsome and muscular man.
There we go.
With a striking appearance and a tattoo on his
forehead. Kyle's like, I'm not the only person that's you know, that's crushing hard right now.
The Wiki fandom.
But awesome. No, if they make a second one, and the second one has, like, Chris Pine casting magic and has a more of an explanation as to like the lore that's being developed and like things along those lines.
You fucking tell me that's not the Mind Flayer.
It's not. It's a lich. It looks exactly like how liches are. It kind of looks like Vecna.
It looks exactly like Vecna. That's Vecna, what I mean. Yeah. Well, I'm not Vecna's talking about a, from this.
Vecna
I'm talking about
is a,
from that.
Is a lich. So yeah, that's the whole thing. But no, like if they make a second one that has all of these things, it'll probably knock this one down a little bit because like, you know, higher than 8.8 is going to be like in the high 9s range. So I'm not going to say that, you know, that one might fall at like a 9 or something like that. And this one might go down a little bit more because I'll be like, yeah, look at all the shit that they left on the table.
True.
But for right now, I think an 8.8 is a good place to.
I'll agree with you. It's the year I was born. I like that year.
There we go.
I like that score.
There we go. So an average of an 8.8 and an 8.8 in Kyle is just an 8.8.
Just 7.
All right. Well, you can follow us then on Instagram and Twitter at Talk Shonen. You can listen to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, but the best place to do that is going to be on our website, rumrunnerspodcastnetwork.com. If you have a show and would like to be on the network, on the homepage there's a section that says Join the Family, and you can actually get your podcast on the network, and you can work with us, and we'll talk to you and stuff like that, and it'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, so until the next time, everybody, roll 20s and embrace your fandom.
Goodbye.
Peace.